All right, welcome into the Fan pregame. A 30-minute short and sweet episode tonight ahead of the NHL draft lottery. That's at 6:30 p.m. And two Stanley Cup games on the network. So just us for 30 minutes.
Yeah, it's the two-game night in round two, which is very exciting to tee that up. Colby Armstrong in a moment. Carolina, New York, of course, 7 p.m. Colorado, Dallas, game one at 9:30.
Jays in action again tonight versus the MLB best team, the Phillies. Sportsnet 1 at 6:30, so an early start for them as well.
And I know you have a revenge angle there in best bets, which we'll do at the end of our abbreviated show.
And I will have a best bet for the draft lottery. The draft lottery tonight, it's Macklin Celebrini season. It's not as much as the Bedard, the tank for Bedard, but I mean, Macklin Celebrini is going to be the next best thing, of course. Won the 2024 Hobie Baker, 17-year-old freshman at BU, 64 points in 37 games. He was going to represent Canada at the IIHF International Tournament, but has decided not to. So you won't get to see him over in a Team Canada jersey now. But tonight, there's obviously quite a lengthy list of who's got the best odds, who has the least best odds for first overall pick. The Sharks with an 18.5% chance to win. What's the team you want to win the Macklin Celebrini season draft?
Okay, so I'm going to Instant Impact, and I'm thinking about last year as much as I am thinking about this year. And for that reason, I'm going Chicago Blackhawks.
Are you kidding?
Why wouldn't I go
That's
Chicago Blackhawks?
That's the team Blackhawks? I want to win the least.
Why? What's your
reason?
Because
they already got Bedard.
Okay, but what's the point in just spreading talent out among bad teams
well,
and just
they've
hoping
got enough given to
one
them.
Of them puts it together?
Enough is enough.
I like when you can rejuvenate very quickly a franchise, and I think Chicago has that opportunity
well,
where you get
back-to-back
number one picks,
overall generational
spend,
players,
and a legitimate team that surely is going to be put into big games on the you know the Winter Classic stage.
They get
so
every
so
Winter Classic.
Well,
game.
If they're going to do it, might as well throw two prospects on there that I'm going to be interested
I
in.
I think then the hockey fans would riot if the Blackhawks won again.
Okay, but I get the
if you are Gary Bettman right now. You want the Blackhawks to get another first overall pick.
Yeah, I want the Blackhawks to be restored to a respectable franchise
on the
ice.
They need a lot more than that.
And they might need a little bit more than just Macklin Celebrini and Connor Bedard, but I digress. It's an important franchise for the NHL, and I want to see Bedard have a chance. I want to see Macklin Celebrini have a chance, and if they are together, they have more of a chance because we just may never see Macklin Celebrini if he plays for the San Jose Sharks, who are so bad they might be in the running for next year and then a year after that because Macklin Celebrini is not going to change the fortunes of that franchise. So if it's kind of like Robin, put him with Batman in Chicago.
That sucks. I do not want the Blackhawks.
Well, who do you want? Okay,
San Jose.
What?
They tanked appropriately. Let them have
them
first overall pick.
You celebrate that tank?
Do you think the Blackhawks were
tank?
Fun to watch other than watching Connor Bedard? Like, there's not much of a difference between these two teams. Sharks have an 18.5% chance. Blackhawks have a 13.5% chance. The Sharks, obviously, I don't know if anyone saw online, but there was a leaked photo of the draft board that could just be a practice board. But if you take those things seriously, it was tweeted and deleted. Had the San Jose Sharks winning. So keep that in mind as you place your bets in the next 20 minutes. So San Jose has the best chance, and they tanked. They eloquently tanked. It was a tough watch. Actually, how about this? Utah.
I mean, I thought you'd go Utah for sure.
Utah winning the first overall draft. They have the sixth best odds behind Montreal, Columbus, the Ducks, the Blackhawks, and the Sharks. If there's ever script writers, it would be Utah. They're going to have this brand new face, this kid that's going to be pretty electric, going to go to a new market, be the face of a new franchise, and maybe be called the Yetis. It'd be sick. So why not?
The first Yeti.
Why not have your guy put on the jersey, the first ever one at the draft?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they're going to have jerseys by then, but I'm okay with Utah. I think Utah is my second pick. Utah would be fun, at least. There will be more interest in what's going on in Utah because, of course, it's a new team, a new city, new owners. It'll be very exciting. It'll be more exciting than it will be in San Jose. So for that reason, Utah, my number two.
Okay, so the Sharks, the Blackhawks, then the Ducks. I'm kind of over. The Ducks, I felt like, have had this young, exciting core and just haven't done anything. And when we did our jerseys that need a facelift, it was the Ducks. So I just don't want to see Macklin Celebrini put on that awful...
Tough to go from BU to that Anaheim Ducks jersey.
That's tough. Columbus would be next. Montreal has the best Canadian odds to win out. I'd also be in
I'd be in for
Montreal. That's an 8.5% chance, percent chance to win the first overall draft. So that's up after us at 6:30. We'll get you set for that a little later. Let's bring in our first guest and our only guest, Colby Armstrong, Sportsnet TNT's Bitten Chicklets. Colby, how's it going?
What's going on, you guys? How you doing? Exciting times, isn't it?
Yeah, everyone, it is exciting.
Hey, I saw you, Ailish, I saw you on social making announcements on Leafs scores and situations at a wedding.
I was doing that, yes.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing stuff right there. Everyone had captured the craziness of the Leafs trying to win a first-round playoff series, and I've never seen that announcement done like that at a wedding, so that was amazing.
You know what? The bride and groom allocated a piece of time for a sideline reporter from the wedding table to give an update on, and there was updates galore. There was Matthews is in, Samsonov is in, Joseph Wall's out, so I mean, I delivered as much as I could to keep the people interested, but unfortunately the game didn't end as well. But you know, if you're at a wedding, you just get on that dance floor and dance it all out.
Yeah, Colby Ailish was responsible for the real disappointing ending, and getting that moment transferred towards the bar and the dance floor was apparently Ailish.
Did a good job. You would have been proud, Colby.
Yeah.
It was like us in Nashville last summer.
Yeah, I'm like, this is amazing. She's making breaking news announcement at her table at the wedding, all dressed up in her wedding gown and everything that she was wearing. Yeah. Everyone's looking good. And then you're doing full breaking news at a wedding. That was amazing.
I'm just trying to be as busy as you. Maybe I could be hired as a wedding reporter. Well, why don't we just quickly start with the Leafs, because we're on that topic now. Of course, you've probably digested some of the locker room cleanout stuff over the last couple of days, and you've obviously seen this core in motion for the last few years. Like, are you team run it back, burn it down, meet in the middle? Like, how do you approach what's next for the Toronto Maple Leafs?
Yeah, I'm probably on team something's got to change. And what that is or what that's going to be, I mean, I don't know. Time will tell. More than likely also no trade clauses and contracts will tell more than anything, I'm sure. But I guess that's meet in the middle, I would assume, because I think deep down everyone knows that something has to change, really, with this team. As good as it's been, as good as it's been through the regular season, and just to, you know, fall short. I saw something on a stat on the goaltenders they faced as well through, you know, these playoffs, and you could, you know, run down the list of who it's been always through with the certain teams that have knocked them out, or they've been able to get through, even Vasilevsky and so on, and the performances that they've had. So it's not like they're playing and falling short against, you know, teams that aren't worthy. They're falling short against, you know, some pretty darn good teams in the first round. That's the way it shakes out. But I think the frustration is there that enough has been seen that something needs to change to possibly and potentially be enough or enough of a change that can get them over, you know, the hump of the expectations of what kind of this team and this group should be.
Jeremy Swayman, one of the goaltenders that the Maple Leafs have run into, the most recent, obviously, with that 7-game series defeat. And Swayman, brilliant again in game one last night, Florida and Boston. I'm wondering about what this means for, you know, the international competition coming up. I mean, there's so many good American goaltenders. Connor Hellebuck going to win the Vezina Trophy. Of course, he would be in pole position for those big starts. But, like, has Swayman burst into that conversation now among U.S. goaltenders?
I think so. I think he has. I think he's right there with, you know, maybe not some of those more elite Vezina-style names that we throw out there that are American League made goaltenders, but I do think that he's there. He's kind of like the Binnington factor of good goaltenders, like not a name that was born in on the tips of our tongues of a player to watch, of a, you know, phenom, up and coming guy that's supposed to be. Like, I've been hearing about Connor Hellebuck since, you know, he was a teenager. You've been hearing about him coming along and how he's supposed to be. This is what I heard. He was the next Carey Price. And I think, you know, his shortcomings in the playoffs have been well documented, but I think he's kind of lived up to, you know, what he's supposed to be and has put up some great seasons and has been a major factor for Winnipeg. No question. It's one of their big time guys. So, but I think Swayman is a name that's just kind of come on. He's been quiet with what he's done. He's kind of got like this, I don't know what it is. He's got this relaxed, quiet confidence about himself that, you know, he knows what he's been through. He knows how hard he's worked. He's known, personally, he knows that he's good, even though from the outside, his name doesn't bring about the same cachet as some of these bigger name guys. And it's kind of cool to see. Like, it really is cool to see. And I think it's encouraging, too, for a lot of kids out there, too, that you know, look at other kids that are growing up that are, you know, better than them, that or where you sit. It depends on how you feel about yourself, where your game is at, yes, but how hard you work. And then you can push yourself, you know, really to the front of the line by the way you play. And Swayman's, he's got a good team in front of him. But I think... his ability, and then calling for the net too. Like, I want the net also in their goalie rotation thing. Like, just so much confidence in himself. And I think they have a culture in Boston too, knowing that his team and is probably his partner has full support in him and where his game was at, and going, yeah, take it, Sway, go with it, run with it. And I think we're seeing kind of everything come together for him with that. Like, last night in the first game of that series, he's smiling, he's chilling. He doesn't do more than he has to, and he just looks so comfortable in his game that there's no question he's got to be there on USA's list as one of their guys, and they've got a bunch of good guys.
Yeah, it's not going to be fun to try to score on that roster. We're talking to Colby Armstrong, sports analyst, TNT and Spin Chicklets. Okay, so one more on the Bruins-Panthers series, because I think last night surprised a lot of people, thought that the Bruins were going to be outmatched by the Panthers, and they came in and they delivered in a really great game one. Do you think that was kind of a Florida hangover in a sense, waiting around? They went to the Grand Prix in Miami, like they weren't ready for the Boston Bruins when they came into town, or will this be a closer series than many had predicted?
Yeah, I think it'll be closer. I think definitely Ailish and I don't know, with, you know, just watching the game, like, I personally thought that they looked rusty. Mm-hmm. I thought that they looked like they were trying to play catch up to a team that just got out of a 7-game series that was, you know, running with, you know, in the middle of you know, kind of not those days off. Like, you take 2 days off during regular season, it feels like you took a week off. And those guys have been off for a while, and that's just normal, I think, for them to try to come back and get their legs under them. It looked like it to me in that game. And they just weren't smooth and automatic like we've seen from them. And actually, it kind of took a little bit of wind out of their sails, because to me it looked like Boston. Like, the one thing about Florida that everyone looks at is that, like, they kind of bully everybody, right? Like, they're the back alley brawlers. And Boston was kind of like, the wind was so out of their sails. They're like, this isn't our night. We're not feeling it. Boston was bullying them out. Even as they got the score up, they were just bullying them around. Like, Florida had nothing. And I think it looked like, okay, we need to regroup and get going here next game. I don't know. Is this going to be a series kind of what we saw, though, in the Dallas and Golden Knights series, where, you know, they lose the first couple at home, then they get into Boston, they finally wake up and start to get rolling? I don't know what's going to happen, but I think those days off definitely have affected them, and will take some time for them to get their game to where it is.
Yeah, it'd be a dangerous game to fall down 0-2 to Boston, despite, you know, maybe them, the Bruins not having the firepower. They got Swayman, and if you have Swayman right now, to put yourself in that hole would be definitely a dangerous game. Let's go to tonight, Rangers and Hurricanes, two teams you've seen a lot of over the course of the regular season, Colby. Which team was the better team for you in the regular season, and are they still that better team now, given that, you know, the game changes when the playoffs roll around and these teams did make additions at the trade deadline?
Yeah, I think the Rangers for me. I think their decor is pretty solid. And if you match them up against Carolina, some may say Carolina is better on their back end. But I think when you look at two, Shesterkin, where his game's at. But I look at the explosiveness of what their offense could be for the Rangers and Carolina's ability to try to control it. And I think if they break out, Panarin can get hot. They've got some guys to their lineup that were rather quiet through the first round. But if they get rolling here in this round, that it could be scary. Their power play as well with the people they have on there. So for me, the Rangers, I found Carolina as man-on-man structured as they are and as tough to play against and as hard as it is to, you know, create against them, I think offensively that the Rangers will be able to get through to them. And they were in game one. I feel like they're the team right now, if you look at it in the East, that's tough because they're fairly deep. They can check well. A lot of their good players can check also fairly well and lead the way that way. And then they've got their Decor and Shesterkin. So I think out of all of it, it's going to be on Carolina to really, you know, really score goals when they have to. They're a shot volume team. They pound pucks at the net like crazy. They work super hard. There's no question. But I just don't know if it'll be enough offensively and defensively if they can really shut them down. Like I thought the first game, the Rangers were ready. The Rangers were ready with like the movement that they had in the offensive zone. They're saying, okay, you want to play man on man? Come chase me. Their D were just flying down walls. They're going behind the net. They were fine with moving all over the offensive zone. And I think that causes enough confusion or chaos where most teams kind of stay in their structure offensively. The Rangers were comfortable, I think, in preparation, being able to break that and get them to really work to stay with them. And then obviously on top of it, they have that scoring punch that can explode. So I like the Rangers.
Yeah, I think I'm leaning that way too. It's a lot to ask of Jake Guentzel for the goal scoring, right, with Carolina. Yeah. It's been something that they haven't been able I guess it's been their downfall in a lot of recent playoff series where they just can't score enough. They bring in a scorer in Guentzel, but it's a lot to ask of one guy when not much else changes, at least in terms of the top end mix. In Pittsburgh, are fans gravitating towards Carolina because of Guentzel, given that he was so beloved?
Yeah, funny you mentioned that. It is. And, my son plays hockey, and he had a little tournament this weekend. And all the parents were talking about with that series, because that was the night of game one when I was hanging out with all these parents, and everyone's really pulling for Carolina, which is hilarious just because of how people feel about Jake Guentzel. So he was a big time player here, no question, but he was also big in the community. They had a promotional thing here called Jake Shakes at the Milkshake Factory. It's like a milkshake shop here,
nice.
Which when he scores, everyone gets 50% off Jake Shakes the next day, which was massive with kids all over the place. So I think a lot of people, he captured a lot of hearts that way with the Jake Shakes here in town. So I think there's a lot of people pulling for Carolina and Jake Guentzel.
We're chatting with Colby Armstrong ahead of two games tonight in the NHL. Let's go to the second one of the evening, Colorado and Dallas, 9:30 p.m. on Sportsnet. What do you think is going to decide that one? Because both getting into this point were battles, to say nonetheless, and now it kind of feels like a conference final on its own.
I mean, we might look at goaltending, which we looked at in the first series, and Samsonov just kind of kicked the door down and after game one totally came back and was comfortable and did the job and made some big saves and some big moments. I would look at that maybe as possibly being, I think obviously Dallas is deeper. They proved to be more physical and faster than the Golden Knights, I think. And then, you know, the emergence of certain players through their lineup and some young guys that have stepped up. And I think they're a team that has complete role recognition with a lot of their guys as well. Like Jamie Benn was a huge factor with his big body play also in that first round against the Golden Knights, and their team speed and their ability. I call them the boa constrictor team of the playoffs, because once they start to squeeze on you as games go on, it becomes harder and harder to get anything going. And they're a team that just won't go away. And then they have ability, to get enough goals to win games. Their goaltending is superior, I think, to the other end in Georgiev. So it should be a really good series, though. Like after the first round against Winnipeg, I was really high on Winnipeg for against Colorado. I was like, oh man, this team, there's something about this team. Like no one talked about them all year. They were right there, top of their division, battling those top teams all year. And I was like, oh, they're going to steal this series from Colorado. It's just going to be crazy to see. And they got dominated. The depth, the speed, the skill, the pace of play that Colorado put up is going to be a monster for them. And the more I think about it, guys, the more I think Colorado might be the team that takes it this year.
We got about 30 seconds. Last one for you here, Colby. We're going to turn our attention to Edmonton, Vancouver, of course, tomorrow night. What are you expecting from this series?
I can't wait for it. First of all, social media with both those fan bases. Jeff Merrick put out a tweet like, this should be good. This is going to be the absolute lunacy of social media between these two fan bases. It's going to be crazy, which will be fun to watch from afar. I may dip my toe in the water and see what I can do.
Be careful.
Involved with that. I know. You got to be very careful. I was on TNT the other night, and after working the I was working in Nashville, Vancouver, and Vancouver just beat Nashville. And I said that I think Edmonton's going to walk over these guys, like, by the looks of it. Like, that's what I said. I'm still getting hate tweets. I'm still getting hate tweets about that. Even though I do, and I am a supporter of the Vancouver Canucks and their play. I do like their team. I do like their play. I was one of the few early in them when the season started that they'd be a playoff team. Little did we know where they'd finish and what they would be. But that being said, this is going to be a heck of a task, obviously, for what the Oilers are now. And everyone kept coming at me, oh, we beat them in the season series. We killed them and all this stuff. And I'm like, yeah, the three of the games were against Woodcroft teams, not what these guys are right now. Like, these guys are playing at another level. Their depth guys are performing. The physical, they're tough to play against. And the numbers we're seeing from McDavid and Dreisaitl and
Colby, we're cutting out a bit. Sorry, I think we're losing Colby. But if you can hear us, we'll say thanks for jumping on, buddy.
Gotcha.
Oh, there you go. Well, sorry.
I gotcha.
You're in the tunnel or something,
Edmonton, eh? Edmonton's at the team right now, and that should be an awesome series.
All right, we're looking forward to it. Colby, we'll chat with you soon. We appreciate you coming on. That's Colby Armstrong of Sportsnet, TNT, Spin Chicklets, and Pens analyst. Wow.
I think he likes Edmonton.
I think he's trying to be on both sides, though. He doesn't want to get picked on online. Yeah. Thanks to Colby for that one. Quickly, was Matthew snubbed on the Hart ballot today?
No, he wasn't. Although it's pretty crazy that you can lead the league in goals.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Get nominated for the Selke and still, like, I don't believe he was better than those three. So I think it's
well
all right.
Said. Okay, so Blue Jays in action in about 7 minutes. They're taking on the Phillies, the league-leading Phillies. I got a pick for you tonight. One of my best bets is a Whit Merrifield home run because that's the revenge angle. So he's playing his old team. They're all hugging before the game. I love Whit. So you could see a Whit Merrifield home run. And if you think the Sharks are going to win the first overall pick, sorry, Justin, or if you believe in the picture that was floated out online, it's plus 260 for them to get first overall choice tonight.
Come on, we're in TV. There could be a rehearsal. I don't believe that.
I'm just giving you all the information I have, folks.
I'm going to the 7 o'clock game tonight on Sportsnet, Carolina and the Rangers. I find it very, very interesting that the Rangers are dogs tonight at home against Carolina after winning game one. If Carolina had won game one, I bet the Rangers would be favorites. So this whole line is predicated on who won the previous game? And motivation factors? I don't think so. I think the Rangers go up 2-0. I think they cash as underdogs tonight. And I'm doubling down on the Florida Panthers. Florida Panthers series price now -115. Call it the Grand Prix. Call it rust. Call it too much rest. Whatever you want. I still think they're the far superior team. They eventually solve Swayman. They win the series, and you're getting close to even money now on the Panthers after dropping game one.
Okay, the leaked photo that I was mentioning was deleted, but if you're looking for what was potentially your draft order, it was San Jose, then Utah, which would be pretty cool. There's a lot of top talent. So it was San Jose, Utah, Chicago. Justin's devastated by that. Anaheim, Columbus, Montreal. But I did do one of those draft simulators online. I only pressed the button one time.
Okay. What'd you get?
Montreal Canadiens.
Mm.
So anything can happen. We have no say in the matter, but if you believe what we saw online, then that could be the way she goes. It would be the San Jose Sharks. They're up next, the draft lottery on Sportsnet at 6:30, followed by Carolina and the Rangers at 7 o'clock, and Colorado and Dallas at 9:30. If you're looking for the Blue Jays and the Phillies, Sportsnet 1 at 6:30, and on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And it's Jose Barrios on the mound, so if the Blue Jays have any chance to beat the league-best Phillies, you got your ace.
Yeah, the ace will help against the league-best Phillies and Whit Merrifield. I just did the simulator, by the way. Columbus Blue Jackets.
That's so boring.
Can we both agree on that we don't want to see Columbus?
Yeah. Well, I don't want to see them win. Do it one more time. Give it a refresher.
I don't think we can.
Oh, you only get one hit?
No, I mean, I can't. All right, I get it again, and we got the San Jose Sharks.
All right, that could be a sign. It'll be fun. I like the draft lottery.
It's fun.
It's smooth, and it's a nice short TV program. They do a good job. Just press a button.
Got to be a little tighter with the information.
All right, folks. Best of luck to all the teams. We'll be back tomorrow to set up a big night in the NHL. Thanks for watching the Fan Pregame Short Edition. We're done.